Item number 13, 2013 Adopted Budget Amendment 1A009 from Corporation Council submitting a follow-up report that describes the reformed process for selecting outside legal counsel. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I look to our attorneys at large. So, whoever.
Mr. Chairman, I will start. What you have is a several-page memo from our office responding to the request that was in the budget. There were really two or three major requests, or sub-requests, if you will, in the resolution. First of all was a request that the county board be notified any time our office enters into a contract with outside counsel, even if it's not required by ordinance. So, in other words, a contract under $50,000. Our response to that request is a preference that rather than a notification going to the full county board, that it only go to the chairwoman and this and the members of this committee as our supervising committee. So we would propose to provide that notification to the chairwoman and to the members of this committee. In addition, we were asked to provide in that notification an explanation for why we believe the matter will not rise above $50,000, and we're happy to provide that in any notification that we provide to you, why we expect the contract to be under $50,000. The last major issue, which was actually the most difficult to deal with, is a request that a maximum hourly rate be established as a policy for the use of outside counsel. And a large part of the response that you receive from our office is an analysis of very unscientific information that I tried to gather, our office tried to gather, from law firms in the area, from our insurance company, from any source we could find for what sort of the hourly rates are that are out there. They are not published anywhere. They are generally not public in any way. Most attorneys guard their fees except for their clients. But we did get some cooperation from several of the larger law firms in town. We talked to our insurance company and got a range of rates that they pay for retained counsel. The distinction, of course, is that they use volume to get discounts. We do not have volume. We've only used in last year, for example, I think three or four contracts total. And so they're generally unusual situations when they happen. They can be expensive. I'm not denying that, but they are unusual occurrences. So ultimately, and I won't go through all the data, but you can see the ranges we received. They are broad ranges. I will tell you, just to inflame your passions, that there are attorneys in some of the largest law firms in town that have approached four figures as an hourly rate. We are not obviously talking about that. We proposed in the memo an hourly maximum rate of $400 per hour. That is intended to be a maximum. It's not intended to be what we expect to pay at any given time. We have never paid $400 per hour. It's intended to be the maximum we would pay without coming to the board or the committee for approval. You're always going to get notification. The notifications of these contracts under $50,000 will include the hourly rate. And obviously anything over $50,000, you'll have the chance to vote on. And so that's our proposal. It's based on the fact that there are fairly routinely in town partners at law firms charging in the mid and upper $300 per hour rate. And those actually are where we've paid those rates. They've been somewhat discounted from their regular rates. So we have paid, I think, in the high 300s, I want to say 385 to one law firm, and that was, again, a slightly discounted rate from their normal rates already. So that's the proposal, and we invite your comments.
Ms. Walker, anything?
Mr. Chairman, the only other thing I'll add is, you know, I want to remind this committee that many times when Corporation Counsel is reaching outside of our office for assistance, it's for very specialized areas of law. And so the $400 hourly range is, you know, I think it's pretty reasonable. I know that this committee thinks those rates are fairly high, but it is reasonable given the expertise that we need to continue to be able to have access to in order to have, you know, favorable decisions for the county.
Thank you. If my memory serves me correctly, I believe this was an initiative from Supervisor Stamper. And Supervisor Stamper, I'll look to you first if you have any comments or questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't get to read the report, so I apologize for that. It's like it's informational only, so I really can't give a fair assessment because I didn't read that. So I have to, based on what they said, I believe the resolution was, but I ask you guys to determine whether, read that second part to me again.
I'm going to look to Supervisor Johnson. I think we can accomplish what you want to accomplish.
I just want to, we did want to make it important to follow, but to give a fair assessment, I would need to.
And I probably shouldn't have called you up.
No,
sorry.
I came to do that, but I didn't do my homework. So it's my fault.
Supervisor Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, to give Supervisor Stamper and other members of the board an opportunity to review the information before us, I move to receive and place this on file so it will be seen by us on board day.
And you'll have plenty of opportunities to then analyze it, and then whatever specific questions you may have, then you can give them a call.
Yeah, and it'll still be information, though.
Yes.
Information.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When will we be able to get them to follow it? After we discuss it?
Well, Supervisor Weishan, did you want to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would assume that from this report, you're going to be following the initiatives that you have laid out.
Mr. Chairman,
it's our intent to follow the initiatives as laid out, provided that this body concurs.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, the previous item, remember, we had to put it into an actual resolution, so I don't know if that was the same situation for this one. Remember how the last one, it was just information, we had to put it into a resolution, so it looks like it's the same situation here. I want to ensure that it is or it isn't.
Mr. Chairman, what I'll say is I would discourage this body from enacting this into an ordinance because it would then be limiting until this body changes it. And so, it's 2013. The rates are fluctuating. This is not a commoditized service. And I think that the previous item was put into ordinance having Dr. Peterson talk about how it would or would not impact his organization. I'm concerned that making this an ordinance item will cause problems down the road for Corporation Council. So what I would say as recommendation to this body is that you receive and place on file and have an opportunity to look at it. And if you have heartburn, if any of the committee members have heartburn with it, that we can tweak it in a way that everyone's comfortable, and then our office will follow that as a policy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that so when you follow something as a policy, is that different than a resolution?
Mm-hmm.
So are we just trusting them to follow it as a policy, or how does that work?
Well, okay, Supervisor Schmidt.
Well, my comments would be that we do have policies. We have, for example, the 50,000 threshold. Anything that's going to cost more than 50,000, you have to come to us, correct?
With respect to professional services?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And any time that switch is going to be made and they have to go to outside counsel, they always do inform us. Some of this is based upon, I think, we argue this all the time about micromanaging or not, but, we're asked they look at policy and this is an area where, the department needs some discretion. We can't expect to have all the expertise in one corporation council. We have used attorneys in the past, consisting of help us in some labor negotiations. They've been very valuable to us. So I think you always have a chance to question. I would not be in favor of a resolution or an ordinance that would ham-hock and say this. We have to do it this way all the time, and they have to come back to us every single time they want to go to outside council. Again, If you particularly think there's a problem, if you really think there's a problem, they're abusing this, you know, the rates are what they are or who they could take, most of the time it's taken upon, and I do trust that they need the expertise that they don't have, and they go to, and usually we're not talking about long periods of time. You know, we need a decision now. We've got to go to someone now. We can't, you know, do RFPs and wait 3 or 4 months to get answers on. We get litigated every day, as you well know, in all sorts of areas. So I think, you know, you raised some concerns. I think those were looked at. I think you need to sit down a little more and talk to some of us or corporation counsel. And I think really this is an area we can really work out together that doesn't need an ordinance or doesn't need a resolution. Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, the 2013 budget directed that this procedure be related to retaining outside counsel, and we have this information in front of us. And there should be flexibility with the Corporation Counsel's office, and it shouldn't be codified in the form of a resolution or an ordinance, at least in my opinion, so they can retain that flexibility. To receive and place on file will give you the opportunity, Supervisor, to review what's before us, and you can contact Corporation Counsel, and you can also confer with other supervisors as it relates to what your thoughts are.
Okay. That's fine.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So the motion is to receive and place on file. Seeing no other comments, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Johnson.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
5 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file is approved.
Very good. Our next item right now is on the agenda that says we can go into closed session. I'd like to at least start it in open session if we